The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific. Time to take heed to God's desires. Stop dwelling in the mud. Your king is on the throne. Dimmy! Tuesday, as we get real with God, and get real with ourselves. First up, we should be smart enough to know that the destination is heaven, which also translates that if the Lord doth tarry, if he delays in his return as we understand it, then we may likely perish or die beforehand. Therefore, perhaps we should make the most of our time. I don't know. Could be crazy. Next, the church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. The church is still growing today, no matter what the enemies or the statisticians tell you. And finally, the devotional diamond of the day, for those that don't know, that's known as a DDD. It's about election, but not the earthly kind. Get this. God elected us. And yes, we were running. Oh, boy.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, I got a good one today. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you know there's a couple of ways to get a hold of us. If you go to a lake and you find a little rock and you write a note and you tie a rubber band to it and you skip it on the water, that is one way to get us some information. Maybe not in this millennial, but I'm just saying that is a way to do it. Another way is to call in. Notice how I'm saying you would actually call, not text, call, which means actually to call, which is the phone by which you would call. That number is 972-445-0770. If you call that number, Terrific T will answer the phone. It'll be good. It'll all be good. If you text in, it will come to this phone that's here on my desk, 214-210-8483. For those that want to send me some really nasty things like they have in the past, take a break. Take a day off. For the other people that want to either respond to trivia or offer up a prayer request or a praise report or comment, whatever, you're welcome to do that as long as you keep it classy. Keep it classy. Texas. That's the only way to say it. And then, you know, this spreads beyond Texas. We actually have people listening in other countries. So you can almost say it's an international show, even though it's probably only like four or five people. But it is an international show, technically. All right. So we do offer that up. We do like praise reports. We do like talking with people. And we do like trivia. Here's the first trivia question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Who was the wife of Boaz? Who was the wife of Boaz? If you think you know, you can call in or you can text. Either way, keep in mind any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio, just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so before we get into anything else, people are already calling in, people are already responding. We kind of like that. That's kind of a fun way to go about it. And I think they're going to be responding right off the bat. So let's get it rolling. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Chrissy.
Hi, Chrissy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I followed you all the way from Southern California.
I feel for you. I mean, I feel you. I'm happy for you, but I feel for you at the same time. That's awesome.
No, we escaped from there about 3 years ago.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. That is fantastic. So what's so funny is that today is our 3-year anniversary of being in Texas. Today.
Yes, it is.
That's amazing. That is so cool. All right. So here we go. This is a classic question. Who was the wife of Boaz?
Was that Ruth?
That is correct. You are right. And here's the classic. Now, I have to do the follow-up. You know, this is just something I have to do. So what would we say about Boaz before he married Ruth? What would we say?
Oh, he was a man of honor.
Yes, but he was also ruthless. Get it?
Oh,
ruthless.
Yes.
Ah, gotcha. All right. See, that's a good one. He's ruthless. All right. All right. Excellent job. Thank you for calling. And call in anytime. Text anytime. Please enjoy the show. Let it be a blessing for you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Awesome. See, everybody's leaving Southern California. You want to know why? Man, just go there. Why? Because they fine you for watering your yard while they water the yard while it's raining in the realm of the public square. You don't even want me to go down that road. Couple things to tell you. We'll do our DNA later on. I got to tell you a couple things. Two really exciting things, one not as exciting thing. Does that make sense? So two exciting, one not
so
as
like
exciting.
It's like a negative with two positives.
Yeah, so you got two positives. So you have a plus and then you have a minus, then you have a plus. You still end up with a plus, right?
Oh, this is a lot of biology. Okay. Is it biology? It's science.
It's science. It's math. It's none of these. Here you go. First and foremost, I do want to let people know. Loving this, but let you know. You know how we're doing the Hebrew words? We are going to be adding in, I don't know if it's next week, but we are going to be adding in Greek words. So we'll have Hebrew words and Greek words. I mean, you guys should know that apostolos is apostle in Greek and stuff like that. It's a little easier than Hebrew. So we'll be adding that in. That'll be kind of a fun feature.
Yay!
Thank you. And then this one, you're going to lose your mind on. This next segment, we're going to be starting a new thing. I don't know when I'm starting it. It's kind of crazy. I know it's just off the charts, but it's going to be called Read and Rant. And what that means is I'm going to read. So rant in the dictionary, a lot of people say, well, that's always negative. It's like, well, that's not the dictionary definition. Dictionary definition is getting, you know, overly excited about something. And we're going to read a portion of scripture, and then I'm going to rant on it. And I just want to let you know up ahead of time, I warned you. That's all I got. You know, those might be the times where you go, okay, I'm out.
God be praised.
All right, let's get into our teaching, and then I'll get into the other stuff. I got a ton of stuff to cover with you. Let's get to this first. 1 Chronicles 17:11, when your days are fulfilled that you must go and be with your fathers. Stop. I want you to listen when I'm saying these things and doing scripture. And if I have to give it a little more oomph, I will. I have no problem doing that. When your days are fulfilled, then you must go and be with your fathers. Guess what? There is a time you have here on earth. And guess what? If Jesus doesn't come back, more specifically, eschatologically, the way that everybody has been saying he's going to come back, your time is going to be fulfilled. And we need to be aware of that. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Okay? When you're in your 20s, not when you're in your teens, maybe your late teens, but your 20s, you're indestructible. When you're in your 30s, you begin to figure out maybe not quite as indestructible as you thought. When you're in your 40s, that's when it begins. By the way, that's why they have all of those dark birthdays, because that's when you start to hear the first bodily noises that you've never heard before. Then when you're in your 50s, that becomes a regular occurrence. Unfortunately, in your 50s, it comes from parts of your body you didn't know you had. And then in your 60s, you're like, I don't care. And in your 70s, it's like, I hope to hear noises because that means I'm still going, and so on and so forth in your 80s and 90s. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you have a certain amount of time on the earth. If the Lord tarries, you got to use that time wisely. You have to number your days and use it with wisdom. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In other words, if the Lord gives you opportunity to serve him, instead of worrying about how things are going to be, do it, because that's the thing you're taking into eternity, not what bill you did or didn't pay. Okay, I'm just going to say this really to be straightforward, especially in our country. If you are late on a car payment, probably won't follow you into eternity. But if you do not step up where the Lord wants you to in ministry and pray or offer or help people or bless people or love people, that might. See that difference? Hebrews 9:27 makes it quite clear. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Many people will take this text somewhat correctly, somewhat incorrectly, depends on how they do it, but they will say there is an appointment, and there is an appointment. There is a specific time. Even Hezekiah was told, guess what? Your full intent, wrap it up, time to go. There's a time where God has, okay? And unfortunately for Hezekiah, he kind of blew that because then he got an extra 15 years out of it and then went wackadoodle, and that's his own problem. Here's the bottom line for you and I. We have a time frame. We have a limit. Make the most of that time. Probably not going to be super high on the list in heaven for you to be able to say, I put a nice dent in my couch while I was watching TV. Probably not going to help you. Perhaps making sure that you remain available for anything the Lord wants to do to you, through you, with you, around you, by you, is a better idea. Not that you have to fill in that blank. He'll do it. But just make sure that you're available and make the most of the time that the Lord has given you. Number your days so that you have a greater heart of wisdom and make the most of every opportunity. Just that simple. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible Trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at TexasAirKing.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No, you need to do that first. Yeah. I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign?
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we have our next trivia question, but before we do the trivia question, we want to make sure to give our sponsor their right place since they're sponsoring the trivia question. So here we go. Here's a little message from Coach and Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC Coach today. Call or visit him online at TexasAirKing.com.
There you go. Texas Air King. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate that. Hope that if you've got anything going on for your air, heat, or whatever, you need to get in touch with them, right? I think heat's coming up because it's getting colder. But then it's up and down. See, I will agree with one of our relatives. So we have Aunt Deb, and then we have Aunt Patty. And Aunt Patty asked her child, what does she think about the weather in Texas? What would you say? And she said it's bipolar. It's like when she first told me that joke and then her daughter said that, I said, what does that mean? And now that I've been out here for 3 years, it is bipolar. That's supposed to be pretty accurate. All right, here's the trivia question. Who said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Ooh. There's a good one. In the meantime, while we're working on that, don't forget our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget our website. We're only going to say this once. I hate talking about money. It's just one of the things I can't stand. And I know I'm supposed to teach on it, so don't get mad at me. So, I mean, people are like, oh, you should like teaching about money. I don't like teaching about money. Okay? That's just but it's important in the kingdom. I'll just tell you this now. From the website point of view and the giving point of view, we are low. At least I can make fun of it. But low. How low can you go? The Angola. Okay. So there we go there. So I told you that. But there is on the website, by the way, new stuff. New stuff on the website. There's new video. There's new audio. There's a couple of new sayings. There's a couple of this and a couple of that. You know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Okay? All right. All right. If you have the answer to that question, who said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith? That is the question, the trivia question from Texas Air Kings. Do we have an answer?
We do.
Ooh, I'm liking this. I'm liking this. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Mary.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
So, I loved your about Captain Crunch.
That's not funny. Yes,
that was cute. That was cute. Having that.
All right, well, Mary. Anyway. Who said, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept my faith?
Yes, that was the Apostle Paul.
That is correct.
The Apostle.
That is correct. And you remember who he said it to? Do you remember who he
Timothy,
said it?
I
yes,
think.
That
Timothy?
Is correct. Yes, yes, Timothy, you are on it. Good job. Excellent work. Excellent work. Very good, Mary. Great job. And that's important. He that's tying in with that last segment we talked about. He just kept going until the Lord said time. And until he says that, we just keep going. Right?
That's right.
Amen. Good job, Mary.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
And,
God bless you.
I'm listening, so I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I love Mary. She's so sweet. I like it when the people are. We have people that call. Sometimes they do phony phone calls, stuff like that. If you can do a phony phone call, at least buy us a pizza.
Extra meat.
Extra meat. This is why I love tea. She knows exactly how it is. Where are we at? Oh, hey, I want to get into this next teaching. This is a good teaching. We covered everything else. Let me get to this. This is for theologians and non-theologians. Now, before you get all excited about a word like theologian, okay? Theo is the Greek word for God, and ology, or ogens, is really studying or a person who studies. And so you're all in one way or another, every person who's a believer and even a non-believer to some degree are theologians. I mean, that's just a reality check. Let me read you from Ephesians 2, and this is out of verse 19 and 20. It says this, "So then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone." Okay, this passage in Ephesians 2, 19 and 20 has to do with initiating the building of the church and the collective connection between the Jewish people and the Gentile people as God is creating one ultimately new people, which would be the group of Christians or believers. It doesn't mean that he's dissing Israel. It doesn't mean that he's second-classing Gentiles. It doesn't mean that he's ignoring Jewish, but none of that stuff's true. Everybody makes all these big statements. It's like blah, 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 blah. Just ignore that stuff. That's the kind of stuff that people argue about because they don't have anything else really to argue about. God is incorporating into his kingdom, his community, his family, Jewish believers and Gentile believers, as we all come together in Christ. Remember, Christ is the head, and we all come together as a body in Christ, and it's a wonderful principle. What happens often is the same thing that happens in sports happens in church. I probably didn't hear that analogy coming very often, did you? If you're an Ohio State football fan, you cannot stand Michigan fans. And if you're a Michigan fan, you cannot stand Ohio State fans. And you pick up on those rivalries and you stick to them and you make it a part of your existence. And people laugh. And one of my very, very good friends who passed on, his name was Ron. I used to call him Ohio State Ron. And I'm from Michigan, right? So it was like, we loved it. We had such a good time with it. But you take your side and you stick with it. Well, unfortunately, the church does that quite a bit. And they do that by denomination or by building. Oh, I'm a non-denom. That's even better than being a Baptist or a Pentecostal. Or I'm an interdenom. And that's even better than a non-denom.
Everybody's coming up with all these titles and all this stuff.
You think when people get to heaven, God's going to go, okay, well, let's get the Baptists over there and the Pentecostals over there. Let's get Church of Christ over here, the Presbyterians over here. Let's get this group over here. Let's get the Lutherans over here and the Methodists over here. Let's get the Jewish believers huddled into the side over there. That is not how that is going to go. We are, as a unit, an entity. And this is why you heard me really get upset a little bit yesterday about how people are even approaching on this election. It's like, listen, you're a child of the Most High God. If you want to effect change, the fastest way to raise things up is for you to lower yourself into a posture of prayer and ask God to help. That's your call. That's what you're supposed to do. And it doesn't matter if you're in a different building. It doesn't matter if you're in a different city or a different state. You are a friend to all them that acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. As David said in Psalm 119:64, I'm a companion to all them who fear you. Right? In verse 21 of that text I was reading, here's what it says. This is why this is really important. See, in verse 19 and 20, it said that the foundation of the church was being built, the foundation from the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. It has to do with the initial building of the church. But look at the next verse. the whole building is being fitted together. Present tense. In him. And is growing into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. Present tense. His body is still being put together, and the church is still a work in progress. And so when people say to you, I'm just giving you a little ammo to live life with, when they say to you, why should I go to the church? There's so many hypocrites. Then you have the right to say, well, what's one more? Come on. It's like the idea is the church is being fitted together. It is growing. It's not about the church numbers in an individual church. This is about the people of God becoming the family of God, and that your brothers and sisters, as one Father, one Lord and Savior, drinking from one Holy Spirit, that's a lot of unity. You're united in God. Well, you're going to be disunited because you look at a particular element differently? That's not going to work. That's not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you might have different leanings, and you're entitled to them. God never told anybody not to do that. It's like if you prefer one type of ice cream over another, fantastic, but you still like ice cream, right? That's the key. So you might have one preference in how you approach one thing in the faith, and somebody might have another preference, but you still serve the same Lord. You drink from the same Holy Spirit, and you have the same Heavenly Father. And the church is being built together. And don't you for once I'm not even going to go down this road. Oh, the church is so ineffective. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do this. It doesn't do this. You know, you're talking about what Jesus is building, right? Why don't you say that to Jesus' face? And let's see how that goes. Speak nice about the people of God. They're his people. They're his kids. You're one of them, right? Okay. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then It was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know? So, you're still teaching a lot of people. So, thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right. Don't forget, by the way, livinginhisgrip.com from Glenn in September, which we greatly appreciate. What a cool call that first call was, wasn't that? Because that was kind of, and then Mary, she's so sweet. I think she's just so sweet. It was just a wonderful, you know, some of the people in our audience, they're just wonderful. Love you all. All right. A couple things we need to cover. Next is the trivia. Let's get that going. This is a little harder, but not really hard. And then the last one's gross. I'm telling you ahead of time. Here's the next one. Who took golden earrings and made them into a calf? Golden earrings. And don't be thinking somebody at the mall where they have the little earrings and the little carts. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. If you know that answer, you're welcome to reach out to us. Also, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. So we have somebody who's calling in on the trivia. I will tell you this before I guess I'm going to take that person for the trivia. Then I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday, which was kind of a weird thing. And here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon. This is Al.
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Although, now that I got you on the phone, I got to tell you what happened. So you're the perfect person for me to tell you. So I mentioned just the other day I had this quiz I had to take. Got all my stuff ready. Got all my things. I mean, it's just this major quiz for my class. Got it all together. Went online to take the quiz. And the professor didn't load up the questions. So I'm like, wait. And so that is like a hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it's like, I'm like, oy vey. Now I got to wait on that. All right. Okay, my friend, I just had to share it with you. I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Who took golden earrings and made them into a calf?
Would this be the children of Israel?
Right. And who was leading them when that happened?
Oh, goodness.
Very closely related to Mo. To Moses.
Mo?
To Moses.
Yeah, Aaron.
That's
Aaron?
It! That's it! Ding, ding, ding! Yeah, I call Moses Mo. You might as well get used to that. That's just how it goes. I mean, I call Peter, James, and John Larry, Mo, and Curly, too, depending on what's going on, because somehow there's a connection there. But there it is. Aaron took that, put that together. And actually, in the Hebrew, it says that out came a calf. So some people are wondering how that really, if he actually designed it or not. Interesting how that all came together, but they couldn't stand firm while Moses was away, and then they went the other direction. That happens a lot. That happens a lot for the people of God, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. Great job, my brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate
Thanks.
You calling.
Have a good day, sir.
All right. God
bless
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Rolling. Okay, so just keep in mind the very last trivia question is gross. Okay? I've never said that before on this show. I'm just pointing that out. Here we go. Teaching time. This is out of Daniel. So we're not like most ministries. We try and do a lot of encouragement. But we also think it's important to acknowledge when there's, you know, sin taking on. We're not shy on pulling the trigger on, you know, hamartiar. Hamartiar is the Greek word for sin. It means to throw something at a target and miss the target. And that's what happens between us and God a lot. Is we and it's like, not even close. Think of bow and arrow and you're shooting at the target. Remember when you were shooting bow and arrow like in camp, and then instead of hitting even on the red or the yellow or the blue or the black or the white, you just miss the whole thing. That's kind of what it's talking about, so that may help you. Daniel chapter 9. We've covered everything, right? Do we? Yeah, got that? History. We'll do that next segment. Thank you for reminding me. See, without tea, I wouldn't even know what I'm doing. Daniel 9, 5 through 7. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us, open shame. As it is this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which you have committed, which they have committed against you. So there's something important about this element that I want us to understand. And I want us to understand that as a nation, but I want to take it way past what people talk about on television and typically on radio, okay? When we don't listen to the Lord, or let me state it differently, when we so far miss the mark, he sends people into our lives, he sends prophets, he sends messages, he sends circumstances, we read the word and we're like, blah, 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 and don't even pay attention, and then we keep on committing sin as a people and as a nation, we are not using wisdom and we are not currying favor with the Lord, and so then the Lord doesn't like that. So there's a lot of people that discuss about some of our historical background as a nation, and there's a lot of stuff in there that is absolutely horrendous. But there is also a current horrendousness, and that's the fact that we're legally killing babies on a regular basis, and nobody seems to really care. Except God cares. And that puts us in a position where you might be thinking, well, we're not doing it. It's like the nation bears a certain sense of responsibility for what's taking place. And why I'm bringing that up and saying it the way I'm saying it is because we are, on the face of this earth, sinful. We do a lot better than a lot of nations, and I'd rather be in America than any other country, zero question. And I love our country. But I want us to be honest about our walk and about our country, about our city, about our state, about everything. We got some problems and we need some help. And the help comes from the Lord. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. And so for all the things that we think will happen or won't happen, or this will win or won't win, it behooves us as the people of God to have humble hearts to come before God and to ask for help. Instead of having kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a stiff-necked, arrogant pride attitude, it's fantastic that we're able to say we're better than other nations. Do you remember the story that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the sinner? They were both sitting there in the temple praying, and the Pharisee said, look, Lord, I do this, I'm doing this really good, and I'm not like that schmo over there. And then he's, you know, the illustration of the story is he's talking about the sinner, and the sinner is like beating his breast and saying, I'm not even worthy to look up to heaven because I'm so sinful. And what did Jesus say? Only one went away from the temple righteous. We can't be sitting there going, well, we're better than this. That's what the Pharisee said. Here's what you can say. Help me, God. Just help me. You don't have to be freakish about it. You don't have to do Monty Python and smack yourself in the back with a piece of wood, okay? Which, by the way, that, you know, people do that. It's like, okay. Here's the answer. Daniel gives us the answer in the rest of that passage in Daniel 9. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. So on God is righteousness. On all of humanity is open shame. Unless you think I'm kidding, Israel was told by God, I selected you not because you're more righteous. Remember that line in the Old Testament? Ooh. And it's like, whoa. And see, the thing is, we're blessed, chosen. Literally, the Lord has blessed us with so many great things. But as a people, we need to be seeking the favor of God, turning away from iniquity, and turning to the truth. Watch this. And giving the truth proper attention. And by proper attention, that means that we hear it, we process it, and we do it. There's a lot of people that think, well, I've heard that, and that's fantastic. Now I'm going on to this next thing. Jesus likened those people to those that build their house upon the sand. And when any great storm comes, that's what happens. But the people that do what Jesus says, when the storm comes, it doesn't have the impact. So a lot of people go around saying a lot of things, and we even have, even now you're listening to me on the radio, I'm talking, we have microphone systems, we have world communication systems, everybody says a lot, but there's not a lot of doing. This is a problem, and I think we need to start there and come before the Lord and say, look, I'm messy. You're the solution. You're the answer. You have the righteousness. I have the shame. I just want to do it right. I want to walk it right. I want to live right. And for the things that I do wrong, that I know I'm doing wrong, please forgive me. And for the things that I'm doing wrong that I don't even know, please help me see those and do better. I don't think you need to sacrifice cattle in order to say that to God and mean it. I just don't think you need to take a bull and chop it up and then put it up. I think you just need to do that with your heart. Chop it up, bring it before the Lord, and let the Lord say, okay. Because if you turn to the Lord, he will respond to you. Instead of Adam and Eve-ish, which means God talks and we run and hide, let's do what he actually inserted in the law, and on the Day of Atonement on Yom Kippur, come into the actual presence of God, which is opened for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Pretty good witness by God, isn't it? All right. Take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local, and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We got to get rolling because I have so much on this last teach. I got to try and get it done. Here it is, the trivia question. Get ready. Jesus mixed something with clay and put it on the eyes of a blind man to make him see. What did Jesus mix with the clay? Ha! There we go. All right. These are just one. Boy, somebody already has. Boy, Joy is on top of it. She's like a ding, ding, ding. Good job, Joy. Very nice. Thank you for you and Cordy. Excellent work. I know you guys are tag teaming. They're helping each other. Okay. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, I want to just want to give acknowledgement to Deb. Aunt Deb has stepped in as well, by the way. She is also answered the question. By the way, it was Deb that found us the place where we lived at, and we've been in this place for 3 years since we've been in Texas. And I will say this, that's the second longest place that we've lived.
We used to move every year.
We've lived in so many places. It's weird. And what happens with Noelle is she is really artsy, and then she changes stuff, and she goes, okay, I'm done. Now I want to go somewhere else.
And I go, okay.
That's how you know it works. It's time to move. Yes, ma'am. All right, we're going to take this call if it's answer to trivia, and then we're going to do history, and then we're going to wrap it up. Is this ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Mary. I know I'm calling again, but
that's okay.
Anyway, Jesus took his saliva and he mixed it in with
that is correct. With
the dirt causing this like mud, and then he placed it on the blind person's. Blind man's eyes.
That is right, Mary. You're so polite. You even used the word saliva instead of spittle or spit. That was really nice of you. Nice work.
That's... It doesn't say saliva in the Bible, but yeah. But I thought it should sound a little bit better. It's just spittle or saliva, you know. Well, anyway.
That's good. Excellent job. Thank you so, so much. You did a great job today. Thank you for participating in the show.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. God
thank
bless.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you so
much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. That's it. Spittle. So, you know, every once in a while when somebody gets really irritating, you know, I admit this. I confess this as a sin. I say to people, you wouldn't know Jesus if he spit in your eye. And then they go, that just shows you Jesus wouldn't spit in anybody's eye. And then I go, three times. Three times he used spit. Anyhow, it's bad. Don't ask me. All right, let's do history and then we'll wrap it up. History.
Let's go live.
Let's go live
faith in the past.
All right, let's give acknowledgement. Today is United States Marine Corps Day, USMC. We give salute to that. That's always very, very important, so we say thank you for that. It's also Sesame Street Day, which used to be cool because they used to keep it simple, and then they got political, and then it got weird, so I don't know what to say about that, but it's Sesame Street Day. It's the day that it started. It's National Vanilla Cupcake Day. Now, National Vanilla Cupcake Day. Anything with cupcake... Right? Is that, is are you going to say that's right? Does he like that or not?
Not vanilla.
Really?
Mainly
really?
Say chocolate.
Do you like a chocolatey kind of? Do you like strawberry?
No.
So you're so bad. Don't die. Did you just like, so you just like chocolate?
No, it's not like that. I like.
Do you like sprinkles?
I like sprinkles. I just don't like vanilla or like strawberry flavors, like the cake wise. I'll eat.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, and ice cream because I don't really like. Strawberry ice cream.
But do you like regular ice cream? Do you like some more of the exotic flavors? You
know, a little bit of both. Like yeah. I don't mind a regular one, but I like the exoticness.
Okay, I do too. I like some of those weird, you know, the caramel, salty. Yeah, some of that stuff I really do like. It's unfortunate, and then my doctor's going to tell me on Thursday, stop liking that so much. I know that's coming. This day in 1938, God Bless America is sung for the first time live on the radio. Here's what you might not be aware of in God Bless America. It's actually technically written in four octaves. So unless you're a pro, that's why everybody does it different, because it's like, yeah, okay, not Celine Dion, not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a pro to do that. The other thing I wanted to say, shout out to Gordon Lightfoot. He wrote that song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That actually happened on this day in 1975, for those that remember. But this was the last thing I want to end on, the Twinkie murder defense. And most of you people don't know, it became the Twinkie defense when a gentleman named Dan White claimed that he was depressed because of his diet of junk food and sugary drinks. I just want to say that if that was accurate, there would be about 50,000 to 100,000 murders every single day, because I mean that's pretty much the diet of everybody in America. So I just everybody can go Twinkie defense. You never heard of that before, have you? Yeah, that's didn't work. It didn't work. Guess why? All right, let's finish up devotional diamond of the day. I'm gonna do this. Ready? Get ready. Election news. Not your election news. God's election. I don't care about your election. God's election news. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us. Okay? Now, we're not having the argument in this particular time about predestination, foreknowledge, or free will. Okay? We're not doing that. I'm not talking about that. This is talking about it simply from the side of understanding, for God chose us. Before the earth was made, whatever your position regarding Genesis, literal or not literal, solar or not solar, that's fine, doesn't matter as much as this. Before you and I could ever have imagined it, God picked you. I think I do have time for a question. Do you want to? We can probably pull that off. So what I want you to know is, God, you are a part of the election. You're part of God's election. He chose you. Now, you might have been running, but he still picked you anyway. Okay? All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven.
Hi, Steven. How are you doing? How have you been? I haven't heard from you for a little while. Hope you're doing good.
I am, thank you. A question. In Matthew, when Jesus talks about building his church on Peter,
yes,
he follows it up immediately with saying, whatever you bind on earth and whatever you loose on earth, so on and so forth. My question is this. Different translations have different adjectives there. It says, most say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound, or whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But there are some translations that say, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven.
Correct.
And the reason, my question is this, what is the actual translation if we go back to the beginning, because it's extremely important for the direction.
Okay.
Considering that Abraham went to Bethel before he went to Hebron, which means he had to go to God first and then he could have communion with the rest of the people?
Right. It's an excellent question. It's going to be tough for me to answer it because we only have a minute and a half. But if you give me about a minute, I'm going to try and kind of do a super fast condensed understanding. The problem that people have in translations, now, when you say it has a big impact, it does have an impact in application, but not in common core basic doctrines. It doesn't change justification by faith. It doesn't change, you know, that Jesus Christ died on our sins or anything along that. It has to do with functionality in ecclesiology about how the church moves forward. The trouble, exactly. The trouble with translations, when you get into exactly what you're talking about, is translation from Greek to English is not perfect. And so when we use the phrase in the King James, charity, for them in the 16th, 17th, 1800s, it meant a lot more than it means to us now, because charity now is giving to the poor. And so the idea or the translation of what it meant and what it didn't mean gets morphed in a series of times. So I'm going to do my best to address that for you a little more tomorrow to give you the couple of different translations and where that goes. As long as we understand that from a translational point of view, there's zero impact on basic Bible doctrine and theology. It's a practicality issue of how you apply it that we're looking at.
Thank you. My concern with it is so many people use that to say, hey, as long as two of us are together, whatever we say, God will back it. And that's not in the spirit of the law.
Correct. That's not even
that, of the word.
That's not even in the spirit of Jesus' teaching.
Basically, if we're in Jesus, if we are in Christ, then we will not make the decisions that he's already made.
Yeah. And so what that's something we will hit on tomorrow. We're out of time today, but I will do my best to kind of address it and give you a chance to call back so we can chat about it tomorrow.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. All right, folks, we're out of time because I only have a one-hour show. Boo. Anyhow, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. We'll be back.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.